Hello, everybody. This is Bill Knauer, and you're listening to Author, where we talk about writing and life, because what it takes to write the book you want to write is also what it takes to lead the life you want to lead. It's true. It's all creative. Author to Author is brought to you by Author Magazine, premier free writing magazine on the internet, featuring articles on writing as well as the writing life. Yes, just how to be a person who's writing. I write something two or three times a week for that magazine, for the, it's called the editor's blog, my little essays, that's in there. But we also have video interviews with best-selling and award-winning authors across the genres. I've got my conversation up there with Bruce Van Dusen, whose book just came out today, 60 Stories About 30 Seconds, about his memoir about his time in the television commercial life, still in that world. Directing television commercials. Fun conversation, fun book. I'll be talking to YA author Jason Reynolds tomorrow, and that'll be up, you know, end of the month. So all kinds of different people, literary fiction, memoir, romance, it's all in there. Check it out at authormagazine.org, and we are funded by the fabulous people over the Pacific Northwest Writers Association. They've been supporting writers from pen to publication since 1955, and they're very, very busy now. They're very busy. They're like Santa's elves a couple weeks before Christmas. Yes, they are. They are getting ready for the conference that's going to be coming up September 24th, 25th. Yeah, that's right. And it's going to be all online, so no matter where you are, you can attend. I'm going to be doing a live keynote conversation with the wonderful Laura Munson. You might remember her from my interview on Author Magazine a couple months back. I'll also be hosting the Pitch Fest for Nonfiction. And at the same time, if you're someone who wants to do a different conference, I'm going to be up in Alaska. The writer, well, not there personally, but, you know, virtually doing Fearless Writing and Fearless Marketing at the Alaska Writers Conference the same weekend. So, you know, conferences, even while we're, you know, stuck where we are. You know, personally, I'm in Seattle at the moment. Oh, the sun is cracking through, but we're in a cloud, a terrible cloud of smoke. And it's made writers like me have to stay indoors, which is okay. It's okay, but people, I got to tell you, I miss the outdoors a little bit. But this is where we are. And fortunately, I get to talk to people like today's guest, Jen Knox. Jen is an educator and a storyteller who teaches writing, leadership, and meditation. She is also the co-owner of Unleash Creatives. Her books include the short story collections, The Glass City and After the Gazebo, and her novel and stories, Resolutions. Her writing has been nominated for the Pen Faulkner, the Best of the Net, and a Pushcart. And her stories have been featured in textbooks, classrooms, and both online print publications around the world. Her fiction appears in the Best Small Fictions of 2017, the Adirondack Review, Savannah East, Chicago Tribune's Printer Row, Chicago Quarterly Review, Cosmonauts Avenue, Cranog, Elephant Journal, Fairlight Books, Fiction Southeast, Juke, McSweeney's Internet Tendencies, MJI News, Poor Claudia, the Saturday Evening Post, the Santa Fe Writers Project Quarterly, NPR Short Story America, and Sequestrum, among hundreds of other publications. But she's with us now. She's taking time off from writing to talk to us. And aren't we glad, Jen? How you doing?
Wow, I'm doing well, Bill. Thank you so much for having me on.
Now, did you know you did all that? I was reading that. I could have just kept going. Did you say, who the hell did all that? Was that really me?
That does happen, right? I actually was thinking exactly that thing. I was like, wow, that's a lot of things. I should read that back to myself. Well, you know, that sounds good.
You've been busy. You've been busy, but you've got an interesting, you wear several hats. You're a writer, mm-hmm. obviously, and you coach people who want to write, but you teach meditation and leadership. Do you see them all as these disciplines, the writing, the coaching, the meditation? Do you see them as all branches off the same tree, or are they totally separate from one another?
That's a really good question. I think it depends on the individual to a certain extent, but the way that I've kind of approached the world and found things that have kind of harmonized in my life, these are the things that have emerged, the meditation, for instance, is something that I think means something different to just about everybody who practices it. There's so many different ways to meditate or to contemplate our experience. But I will say that every single thing in some way feeds writing, and writing feeds every single thing, because for me, writing is a great reflector, you know?
Yeah.
So I find meditation in writing, you know, and I explore topics that I don't necessarily, that I'm curious about, or I don't necessarily fully understand yet in writing. And I can dive deep with writing. I think that there's a wonderful harmony there.
Yeah. You know, every writer I know, I certainly count myself amongst them, that there is something about, it's a funny thing. I will think I know what I know about something, and then I'll write about it and I'll really learn about it. I mean, sometimes I specifically mm-hmm. write, like, I want to understand this, so I'm going to write about it. But sometimes I go in thinking I know, you know, I really do. I think I got that. And then, I'll tell you a quick story. I'll make it quick. But my last book was called Fearless Writing, and it was based – I was teaching a class called Fearless Writing or something or various things, but it was basically the emotional challenges around writing. And I thought, I can write this book because I'll just write what I've been teaching. And I sat down to do that, and I did that for a day, and I thought, this is so boring. I'm essentially transcribing the stories I told. And I said, I've got to find something different to say about this or I won't be interested. And I did. And I've been teaching it for years, but I discovered all kinds of stuff in writing it because – that's the way writing stays interesting. Does that resonate with you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it's almost like I like to think about it in terms of almost like you're solving a mystery or teasing out a puzzle. So a lot of times it's one or the other. So sometimes the mystery is very personal, at least in my writing. I'm primarily a fiction writer, but we write from our experience to a large extent, even if we're writing something completely fantastical, in my opinion, because that's all we have.
Yep. I agree.
So a lot of times, it's just like the mystery is the thing that I don't fully understand. A lot of times it's emotional. You know, like I don't understand others' emotional reactions, my own emotional reactions, or the way that, you know, people are perhaps in disharmony in the world or different conflicts. And so writing to tease that out, not that I necessarily find an answer, but that I can explore it from a little bit more of a 360 perspective is really, it's really a wonderful feeling. And it can be hard to get started sometimes, but once you do, oh my goodness, there's nothing like it for me.
I agree about the getting started. I have recently become evangelical about this. I wrote a piece for Writer's Digest about it, about what the getting disciplined about starting, about understanding what's happening, how you're having to move from an external, what I call the domestic frame of mind, where my attention and my five senses are, you know, interacting with the outside world, to writing, which is entirely internal, and all my inspiration and motivation is going to come entirely from within. And even though I'm talking about the outside, I can't actually be looking at the clock or reading an email or looking for inspiration from something that's happening at the moment. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a big shift. You can't just always go bango and expect that to happen.
And it's especially hard now because there's so many little things dinging at us or opting for our attention, and we're essentially glued to our computer screens, whether we like it or not, pretty much all the time right now, especially, you know, with quarantine and with just being less able to be mobile. And it's doing something to our brains. So to get to that silent, still place is, I think, more challenging perhaps than ever, but also at the same time, more rewarding than ever.
Yeah.
When you can really get there. So,
it's funny. So you describe it as a silent, still place, which I think is perfect. It's exactly what you're going to, even though when you get there, then something with movement that is noisy and that it has ideas and thoughts and things are talking, and you have to, but in order to get to that movement, action, thought, image, sound, even though you're writing about it, you first have to go to a still, silent place to hear it.
Yeah.
Then the action happens, whatever that action is.
Right. It's like we're entering a portal.
Yeah.
We sit down, and then when we can get there, it's just like, you know, and all of a sudden something takes over, and it becomes, yes, that dance of stimuli, and just, and everything's happening in our heads, and it's very alive and exciting.
Totally.
Yeah.
I always say that I never, when I'm writing and it's going reasonably well, which it does really most of the time now, I've learned a few things in my many years. I never feel less alone than when I'm writing, even though I'm physically, the door's closed and I'm by myself. But when it's going, when I'm in the flow, I never feel more connected, less alone than that. Mm-hmm. You know, I can feel more alone at a party than I do when I'm writing, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I get that. I get that. I've never really thought of it in that way, but I definitely resonate with that, because you're connecting on a more universal level in a way, because you're not, it's almost like the ego goes away. When you're really immersed in it, and that ego is the thing that's kind of like nagging at us and telling us that we have to be, we have to do, we have to whatever. Yeah. And when we're really connected, we have a clarity of thought and things can flow. And so, that's a really cool way of thinking about, we're less alone because we're interconnected with
the real stuff,
creative force.
The ego couldn't write a grocery list practically. I think the ego doesn't have a clue. It just is and it's the thing that wants all the attention and wants all the money and all the whatever, but it can't do anything. Right. It's useless in that way.
I agree. I don't even think it's very beneficial at the marketing stage or the outreach stage. I think it's just a torture maker.
It is. Well, so all right. So Jen, you seem to work a lot in short form. Yeah, short stories and sometimes very short stories. Has that always been the case for you, or did you have to discover that form as was the most comfortable for you?
So I actually started writing a lot. When I first started writing, I started writing a lot about my personal experience and just keeping notes, writing essays, honestly writing probably for therapeutic reasons more than anything. That's where it started. So I dabbled when I was a kid, but I wasn't one of those kids that wanted to be a novelist when I was, you know, three. I think I plagiarized a few Tom and Jerry cartoons I was younger. Yeah. And then it wasn't until really I got to college that I really started writing. And I was one of those students starting at community college, and I was thinking, I don't really know what I want to do, but college seems like a good idea. You know, and then I was actually thinking about majoring in psychology and moving forward on that path.
Yeah,
and I did minor in psychology, but I started writing a lot of essays for some of the social psych and abnormal psych classes. Mm-hmm. And I realized that in the narrative, we would have these really wonderful assignments, like violate a social norm and write about it. And so, which I recommend to everybody. So anybody listening, I really recommend you violate a social norm, you know, that's not dangerous.
God.
And then write about it, because it's
you're
amazing.
You're scaring me.
within reason, it's not dangerous or offensive.
Okay, all right.
but we did things like turn around in the elevator and face the wrong direction, and it just shakes things up a little bit. But it really, I remember just writing, and all of a sudden I had these narratives, and I started getting a little bit more creative, and started getting a lot of good feedback on my writing, not for writing classes, but just like, well, you know, you're a really good writer. And so I was like, well, you know, maybe I should keep doing this. It started as, you know, more journals and homework assignments, and then I decided to major in English. I had amazing professors, and I kept it going. And then I would say, after I got to grad school, I went to Bennington, and I was specifically studying nonfiction.
You were. Okay.
I would say, it was studying creative nonfiction with wonderful people, and I was really into it. And then I realized I had written enough about myself.
Oh, okay.
And I was ready to kind of look at the short fiction genre. And so I started to get a little bit more imaginative, and that's what really brought me to the short stories. And I just love short stories and short essays because they're so contained and you can sit down and complete something in a sitting or a few sittings.
Yes.
And then, there's nothing like it. I just love it. I mean, it might
take
14 revisions, but whatever, you know.
One of the best practices I ever had was when I started doing publishing Author Magazine, we had this editor's blog, and the guy who was helping me with it was like, we need daily content, and you're going to provide it. And so I had to write an essay a day, a 400-word essay a day for the blog. And that was the best discipline in terms of, because it was only 400 words, but it made me finish something. Mm-hmm. It made me not try to perfect it. It made me really find my voice and just see my work as a part of a whole, as opposed to trying to find one perfect thing. It was just finishing something. I'd finished stuff, but finishing that many things, it was a great practice.
Yeah.
I loved it. I still love it.
It really is. It's so wonderful. And it also teaches you so much about just the form of fiction.
Yeah.
And you have to be compelling. You have to have dynamic characters. You have to really grab your reader and take them somewhere and show some change in such a small space. I think it's such a unique and delicious challenge. I love it.
You decided to go for graduate work, and, what was that like when you made the decision to say, okay, I'm going to try and be a writer? Because that has a lot of, speaking of the ego, a lot of crapola around it in terms of like, well, can I do this? Am I good enough? How do you make a living? Blah, blah, blah. Did you have to contend with any of that kind of stuff?
Oh my gosh, Bill, I was a mess. I was a total mess. So I actually, I didn't think I'd get in. And so I only applied to one grad school, and the only grad school I applied to was Bennington. And I didn't get in. I didn't get in. I was on the wait list. And so I was like, whatever, you know, I'll just pursue other things or, you know, figure it out. But then once I got in, it was like, all of a sudden I was like, oh my gosh, I could be a writer. And then that little naggy ego came around, and he or she was like, hey, let's go, let's do this.
Yeah.
And then I put so much pressure on myself and thinking that, you know, I wasn't going to be a part of this experience and really not knowing what to expect at all. I wasn't a well-traveled, you know, young person or anything like that.
Yeah.
I had rather humble beginnings. I was in Vermont, and I was with, you know, such a dynamic and amazing group of writers, and just diving so deep into these things. And I was so intimidated. And so I kind of wavered between these grandiose dreams of being the next New York Times bestseller, and then these thoughts that I shouldn't even be here. Why am I even here? You know?
Yeah.
And so it was quite a difficult time, but luckily I actually learned some things while I was there too. I was able to break through that a little bit and really, you know, kind of just soak it in. And I think it was a really good experience, on the whole. But grad school is a tough decision, and it has to be the right decision for the person. And for me, it was, because I needed it. I felt I was coming from, I just needed the extra education. I needed to be immersed. I needed that concentrated time, and I needed I needed to meet other writers too, you know?
Yeah.
And so,
did that help? You mean both your peers and your teachers?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Both peers and teachers. You can't really seek out mentorship in the way that a lot of people think about it. But you can definitely find, you know, role models and connections that make you understand what's possible. and
right.
stretch yourself. And so that's really what I feel like I was able to do there. And yeah, and I've also made just, you know, I made, you know, lifelong friends that
sure.
that was so, you know, that resonate with that writing world and have been there and done that, you know. So,
well,
so that's
also
a wonderful thing.
But isn't it helpful also to, because I wrote for years and didn't sell stuff and was really just in a, I would wait tables and just come home and write and just was living in a bubble in a way. And I just didn't know any other writers. And so they weren't real people. I mean, I knew they were intellectually, but I hadn't met any working, you know, I hadn't met people actually working in publishing now. Everybody I read was dead or had won the Nobel Prize or something. So it was all so removed from what was actually happening around me. And it made a huge difference when I started meeting, and I'm in Seattle, it's just lousy with writers, you know. And so, and I now, because I do these interviews and I've met so many different writers, but I, it just, you know, I'm a real person. And if I make a writer into something other than just a real person, I'm never going to be able to do it. You know, so I needed to, I needed to see them as just a human being who gets up and puts on their clothes and just does this thing, not these superhuman whatever. Yeah.
Absolutely. I feel like there's, a lot of sensationalism that kind of happens in the literary world, maybe more even more so in the past, and maybe, you know, reducing a little bit as we move forward, but I don't think it's very helpful to people because writing at its base level, it's wonderful. It's everything we were talking about earlier. It's meditative, it's connectivity, it's insight, it can be therapy. It's so many things, but it's also very hard work if you actually want to in any way share your work with an audience or make, you know, a living from your work. Or it's an inordinate amount of work, so much work in fact that, you know, I'd put it up against pretty much any job out there, you know. This idea, this romanticized idea that someone can, you know, drink a fifth of whiskey and put on a bathrobe and pump out an great American novel is just like such, you know, bull. So I think it's important that we, you know, that that's broken down for people, because otherwise they'll get real frustrated really fast.
Well, which leads me to Unleash Creatives. Is that your sort of, is that the name of your business, your writing coaching business, or is that something else, or are those separate things?
Yes, that's the writing coaching business.
Okay. So talk to me about that. I am also a writing coach. I like it. I have my specific little things I do. So if someone were to work with you, they would come to you and say, I need coaching. Help. What would happen? What would they do?
Absolutely. So, you know, writers are at different stages, from ideation to having a draft to just wanting to start to write. It's just a vague notion in their mind. And so it really depends on how a person comes, where they're at in their journey. But so it is pretty customized in the sense, in terms of how I would deliver a coaching session. But essentially what I do is I'll send a short questionnaire or have a half hour call with somebody just to kind of get to know them a little bit, get to know their goals, get to know their background, that kind of thing. And then from there, usually we'll follow up with a strategy session. So I'm a very forward, you know, kind of, you know, momentum building kind of person. And so I understand that sometimes it's easy to kind of go to the TED Talk, for instance, on how to write a short story and get really amped up, or go to, you know, a conference and get really amped up, and then you leave and then you don't do it, and then you feel even worse, you know?
So
I like to really work with my clients to create really, really, really honest with themselves, honest goals to move forward. And actually, sometimes, depending on where they're at with it, we have a bit of a working meeting, or I give them certain assignments that they can work on with me. But it does vary quite a bit on, you know, where someone's at. But generally, coaching calls, and right now Zoom is pretty fantastic for connecting with writers, you know, all around the world. And I just really love that. So,
You know what I find when I'm working, because I tend to be work my clients. I actually did have a 13-year-old client. His mom wanted me to work with him, which I did. When that was interesting. But they're adults, you know, and I realize, I don't know if this is true for you. I certainly teach some people about the craft and stuff if that's if what they need. But I feel like a lot of what I'm teaching them is just how to be, live as a writer, like how to be motivated on your own, how not to have be given assignments, how to sit down every day at your desk, what that means creatively, psychologically, emotionally. I took it for granted because I've been doing it all my life, but I realized that's a whole, if you've been working at like an office or a career, that is a different way of working, I think, than almost any other job. And I'm doing a lot of time just teaching people about that. Do you get into that with people?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll say that a lot of my clients are writing, and this isn't for me reaching out necessarily in this regard, but it's just how things happen. But a lot of my clients are writing memoir and personal stories. And for that reason, or, you know, some of them start there and segue into other genres, but for that reason, there is a bit of a process of kind of preparing for that, you know, mining memories and figuring out, you know, what do I tell, what do I not tell? If I have a traumatic story, do, you know, how do I relive this? And it's like, you know, there's so many things that I have to offer in terms of you don't have to, like you do in a certain way, but there's so many beautiful ways of writing a story of resilience without dwelling in that external, you know, sort of situation that, or that external traumatic event. And so, and so a lot of that is kind of about how you approach the piece. And then another bit is what you were saying, just really creating space for yourself to sit down and get to where you can find that still place and then, you know, get into the flow of the actual output and the writing and not the self-critic, you know, that comes in there and taps you on the shoulder. It's like, hey, who are you to do this?
That's right. You know? That's right.
So,
yeah, I always say to my students that, like, your job, your first job, and really your most important job is to get into the frame of mind where writing is possible. Like, you first have to get, and it's a distinctive frame of mind. And until you're in that frame of mind, nothing's going to happen. Like, I can't do anything personally. I can't write until my mind is there in that sort of relaxed, quiet flow state. And that's my first job. And when I understood that, it made it way easier. You know, when I thought that's what I got to do first. And then I could do all that other writer release stuff.
Absolutely. And it's different for everyone. Like, for some of us, it's really early in the morning, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, that's when I like it. That's when I like it, baby. Yep. Right away. Right away. Well, hey, do you meditate when you get up?
So I do. I generally actually write before I meditate. And I'm a pretty routine person for my morning, my morning ritual.
Yeah.
And I'll take a walk, I'll come back, and if it's nice out, I'll go outside or I'll set up in my office and I'll write anything. It doesn't have to necessarily be the project I'm working on specifically. I write anything, even if it's a newsletter, you know, post or something.
Right.
And then I meditate after, which it's interesting because I used to actually meditate and do yoga prior, but sometimes I would get a little too blissed out. I started writing first, and it's almost like a segue to meditation for me. So I think it works out for me.
Yeah, I go meditation, writing, exercise. Mm-hmm. First, meditation levels, but I wake up and it's like my wife and I meditate together. Boom, and then we write.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
No, I'm usually, it gets quiet. I got to get my mind still. I want it as blank as that page if I can do it. If I can do it. Okay. So, Jen, you're an interesting person. I'm glad we got you on the show. Now, people listening might think, gosh, she's just who I need. So, if people want to learn more about you, if they want to work with you, et cetera, where can they find you?
So the best place to find me is my website, and that's jenknox.com, Knox as in Fort Knox. And I'm on social, you know, here and there. I'm honestly a little consistent, but Instagram's probably where I'm most active right now.
All right.
Although,
all right.
You know, and that's underscore Jen Knox underscore.
Okay.
And yeah, I would love to hear from anybody who'd be interested in working with me. And I have pretty much, you know, all of my writing and all of my services laid out on that same website. So everything's kind of in one place.
Excellent. Good, good, good. Well done. You're doing it right. Okay. Now, I'm not quite done with you, Jen.
Okay.
I still have one more question. What I'd like you to do is finish this sentence. If writing has taught you anything, it's taught you what?
It's taught me connection.
Ah, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the big immediate payoff, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I could give you so many other words.
Yeah,
there's
that's
like
a good
400
one.
400 other words coming.
Hey,
yes, but.
My new book, coming out in May, has a whole chapter called Get Connected, and it's all about that, about how important that is. So I agree with you 100%,
nice.
Jen. That's fabulous.
Nice.
Listen, it's been great having you on. Best of luck with all you're doing, all your short and long pieces. Just keep on being awesome.
Great. Thank you so much, Bill.
You are welcome. And thank you all. As always, thank you to my producer, RJ Jeffries. Next time I talk to you, I hope there will not be a cloud of smoke sitting on my head. But until then, go out and find something you love to do and do it. Yes, indeed.